Yeah.
Like I said, God really opens those doors into the industry for me, where I preach for so many people, and it's just, it's not like this weird, like, I mean, I can Shaka Khan a lot of people and lay my hands on them and have them fall out, but it doesn't need to be that way, right? Like,
right, 100%.
It just doesn't need to be that way. Yeah. It's just, hey, like, I see you're hurting. Can I pray for you? That simple, you know?
Yeah.
And most people are open to prayer. Most people want it, right? And are just waiting for that person to step out and be faithful to all of our calling, right?
I don't know about you, but I feel like there is this surge of kingdom leaders who are ready to be in battle, who are probably already facing a battle because they've gone through a battle time and time again, and they are equipped to fight. I feel like I'm on the front lines of something magnificent happening in the kingdom. And I know this is the year of the open door. This is the season of passing through and past the threshold. And God is on the move. This conversation is going to blow your mind, because I think often we marginalize ourselves outside of Old Testament understanding of gifting. And we think our gifts and our talents are just subpar to what Jesus himself told us we were going to do and what the disciples showcased even after he left. So I don't know about you, but I do see what is happening when it comes to prophetic, when it comes to the angelic, when it comes to the anointing on the body of Christ and us facing the fight fearlessly. Today's guest, Tara Armstrong, goes into the gift of seeing. And this might be new information for you all, but I've been studying about angels for, gosh, 2 years now. And while I never have physically seen an angel, there has been such presence and connectivity to this yearning. And I believe if we are working in the marketplace, we better position ourselves into the supernatural realm of the giftings that the Holy Spirit allows us to have access to, and that the kingdom of heaven needs us in order especially to fight off the demonic. Okay, y'all, this is a real conversation. And if you've never had it before, welcome in to a good one. I'm so grateful for my girl Tara Armstrong and for you guys being here with the Fit and Faith podcast. If you have yet to leave a review, it would mean so much to me. Literally, like, just one extra second. Scroll to the bottom of whatever listening station you are tuning into and tap that 5-star, of course, if it's 5-star to you, and leave a note. We are featuring different people throughout these seasons and allowing people to be known, but also to expand the invitation of what is happening in the Fit and Faith realm. Remember, FIT stands for Founders, Innovators, and Trailblazers, and I believe that's you. That's why you're listening. So let's go. It's time to fight.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Listen up. For such a time as this, we must grow our faith and business muscles. The self-help industry is trying to own spirituality and well-being. The entrepreneurial space is becoming flooded with business pursuits focused on success instead of sustenance. But the only one who can make us fully whole, fully free, and fully alive is Jesus. So I'm ecstatic you walked into this hypothetical gym today. I'm your trainer, Tamara Andress, also coined an entrepreneurial rabbi, teaching the pursuits of God, which unveil our purpose and ultimately unleash our desired provision. This FIT acronym is for Founders, Innovators, and Trailblazers. Here, marketplace ministers conversate and educate to build others from the inside out while also sharing their testimonies of endurance. So while it's not a fitness podcast, I do surely care about your mental, physical, emotional, relational, financial, and spiritual health. You're going to hear all about it. If you're passionate about your becoming journey, leading others to greatness, and living a life of abundance and joy, then you're well on your way to being fit in faith. Let's hydrate.
Welcome to the Fit in Faith podcast. I am so pumped that you're here, Tara. And you guys are going to get confused today because we're going to go back and forth between Tara and Tamara. We're both wearing hats. We're both blondes with blue eyes and a really bright smile. So thank you, Lord, for symmetry and connection in the kingdom. I am so pumped to have people learn about your testimony. One of my favorite things about you is just the title of what you are literally on mission to do, which is She Shifts Culture. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Like, you don't have to
amen.
Go anything further. Tara Armstrong, She Shifts Culture. Let's go. But you're a speaker and a life coach. You're a gatherer and a nurturer of women and people. And you also have a background in fashion and style and working alongside culture. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to learn the backstory about that because you've worked alongside Nikki Hilton and just Tyra Banks and some people who I don't necessarily put in our same genre or bracket as of now. And yet you are the one who likely were shifting those atmospheres at that point, or maybe not. Yeah. I don't know what your testimony is in that regard. So let's get into the good stuff. Give you the juicy stuff, Tara.
Well, thank you so much for having me here. I am so honored. You're such a light, and I just love everything that you're doing as well, helping people just step into purpose, walk in purpose. And that's what I'm about is, particularly with women in, business, in life, in spiritual. I just work with women and help them really achieve the goals that I feel like God has placed on their heart. So let's get into it.
Yeah, I love that. And there is that's the connectivity piece where when we saw each other on social media, we're like, oh yeah, we're meant to be aligned.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that we're meant to do. So I want to know, like, where was the backstory for me? I didn't really have a connection towards women until I was fully blossomed as a woman. And so I'm curious, like, what was that evolution like for you? You've been working with women in the fashion industry for a long time, but what was the backstory to that?
Yeah. Well, so funny thing is I actually, I grew up with three brothers and I have one sister, and I was always friends with all the guys. I was not like a girl's girl. I was just like, too much drama, too much, and I just was never into it. And it wasn't until I was actually in the fashion industry before God called me out, sent a prophet my way to say that I would be starting women's conferences, or I'm sorry, not starting them, but speaking at them all over the world.
Wow.
And I was like, what? I don't even like women. I don't even like going to women's conferences. You know what I mean?
Like,
I
was not like, me. No. You're like looking over your shoulder. Sorry.
Legit was. I was like, I don't think so. I think you got the wrong girl. And God really had to like change my heart on that, right? Like really had to develop just a kindred, compassionate heart towards women. And not to say that like I was mean towards them. I just got along better with men. Which is also something that I had to learn and work out as to why that was, right? What things inside of me like was stopping me from having this connection with women. Yeah. One, I think it's because the enemy always confuses and tries to control your destiny by polluting and perverting the now, right? And so I wasn't aware of what he was doing then. But now, I mean, at that time, I realized, okay, all right, God, like you're calling me to this place, but like I don't even want to go to women's. I'm not like, woo, cheerleading, like that's not me. Like, I just not into like all the pink stuff and like, I don't know. And he really had to develop and change my heart towards women. And so, and in the fashion industry, you know, we think of it, that was another journey that I don't even know. I didn't even like, it was more of just like a fluky thing, which is very much what happens in my life. Yeah. God will just be like, go here. I'm like, okay. And then go here. Okay. I just live out this adventure with God. And so when I came down from Northern California, a friend of mine actually was just like, you would be so good as a fashion stylist. And I was like, really? Okay. and I was just like, let's do it.
That sounds fun. Why not? And
yeah, it sounds great. I mean, I loved fashion. Yeah. I loved photography. I love, just the whole artistic way of being able to express yourself by how you look. I love all of that. Yeah. But I was just like, I don't have an experience or anything like that. And she worked next to one of the biggest fashion agencies. And so she just introduced me and I said, look, like I've never been in the fashion industry before, but what I can give you are these three things. I can work really hard. I'm super creative and I learn really quick. Those are my three really great attributes that I can give you. Yeah. And she's like, okay, I'll take a chance. And so she's like, this first gig that I'm going to put you on, you're not going to get paid. It's like an indie film. And then from there, I'll try to get you booked on a commercial where you will. And sure enough, she did. She kept to her word. And from there, I worked with her maybe on a couple more projects. And then I landed my first big client like right away. And that was Nikki Hilton. And I know, like it was so wild. So I started working with her and I worked, you know, styling her, as well as she had a clothing brand where I would style her pieces. Cool. And then I worked for like ABC Family doing a lot of commercials with them, being able to, you know, write out like write out scripts and things like that and help really, you know, bring these commercials to life. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of work.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wild hours, like a lot of demand.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. 1,000%.
So how have you taken those experiences and like, what was the shift out of that? Because I feel like I have another girlfriend who is in kind of that same industry, more Christian, she connected to TBN and things like that, but it was still like a big jump for her. It was a hard leap to go out of this place where you kind of feel like that sense of fame, you feel that sense of energy constantly of like, oh, I am, or they are somebody and therefore I am by allegiance, like all of that. What was the shift to say, okay, I'm going to stop this and I'm going to go into She Shifts Culture?
Yeah. So I never saw myself. I mean, God has always placed me in high profile people in their lives, right? Since I was very young, I've always been around, I mean, not from where I'm from, but like, I just feel like I've always been in these atmospheres where God, there was intentionality to it. So I never saw these people as like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I always thought that there was like a purpose to it. Yeah. Like, why am I here? Like,
what? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And there was a reason for me to talk to them or pray for them or, you know, there was just intentionality behind it all. And the shift came because I wasn't fully fulfilled. From a young age, I was a missionary kid. So my first missionary trip was at 11 and I got saved like when I was 4. And I love helping people. That's just like the core to the core of my bones. And I love fighting for justice. I love fighting for those that, you know, just are kind of not seen or the underdog. So I just felt like in the fashion industry, I wasn't getting that fulfillment. I tried to create that fulfillment. And what I had done was I started a clothing line called Recycled Threads. And I would use because right away, once again, God used me and put me on platforms. Okay, situations. I don't know. I was kind of wild and out at that time, but still always had this sense of Jesus, right? Like everyone saw me as like the spiritual one. Like, so I would create these fashion shows. It got picked up right away all over Los Angeles in like the top clubs. And we would perform in the middle of the night in front of everybody, like thousands of people, right? Yeah, it was really crazy. And people, like promoters would just keep picking up the show because it was so powerful. And what I would do is I would not just have the models like walk up and down, but they would literally storytell on stage. Like they would be holding signs and saying things that were, you know, one of them I even had, you know, I got in trouble for it, but I didn't care. It was at Universal City Walk in front of like thousands and thousands of people. Like I just felt like the Holy Spirit was like, I want you to read Psalms 23 over everybody.
Let's go.
So right before the show started, I read it and they knew because we had some celebrity friends there and they knew if they like pulled me that they would leave too. So I kind of had like that in my back pocket. But just crazy things like that where I would use that platform to really highlight God and highlight things that I knew were on his heart. Okay. And at that same time, I was doing a lot of missionary work as well. And so I would combine my creativity and I would go and partner with nonprofits and whatever story that they were trying to get across to their audience, I would show it visually through my fashion shows.
So fun. I feel like that's so hard to leave. Like, I'm like, come on, Tara, let's do that. I want to come. That sounds so fun. Like, do you feel like God has laid that to rest for a season? Do you feel like that's something you're infusing in what you're doing now? Or does it feel like, what is the thought pattern behind that?
Yeah. I think, through like my conferences that I do now with She Shifts Culture, I feel like it's kind of that same element, right? I'm just not in a club where everyone's pounded out drunk. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's always like, nice. That's a great, better audience, much more captive. I like it.
Though I actually like those atmospheres. I like those atmospheres because I like God using me in the spaces of people that don't know him, because we're here to fight for people to come into the kingdom. And what I like to call, you know, pew potatoes, where people just are constantly in church getting fat off the word, but not using the word to accelerate the kingdom, right? Like, is not okay, right? Yeah. And I just feel like God uses me in spaces of non-kingdom places and kingdom places, but to be able to really drive his word in a non, shouting on a street corner, like, get saved, turn or burn kind of way. Right, you know what I mean?
No, I 100% know. And I think that's like where the evolution of this show has even come from is like, I was really trying to learn a ton from people who were in the church when I first started it 5 years ago. And then I realized, okay, there are so many ministers doing lots of different things in the way that they show up through their nonprofit, through their 9-to-5 job, through their entrepreneurial endeavor, through their mission work, like so many different pieces. And the marketplace is truly my heart, where I really see this revival happening. And the revival is happening because people are seeking purpose and identity and justice, as you mentioned, and peace. Like, really talk about mental health battles. Like, they just want peace. Yeah. We want a break. And there's only one that can provide that fully. Yeah. So how do you go into these places and expose people to the light and joy and peace that they haven't ever understood without necessarily blanketing it as church or blanketing it as Christianese, right? It's really like walking with people. And I love the artsy. I love creativity like that, where it just can hit the gut. It's like that spirit of conviction. And the Holy Spirit is doing the work, not you, but you get to partner with him in that. So I love the messaging and ideation around it.
Yeah. And then, like I said, towards the end, I would start using it as raising funds for some of the mission trips I would actually go on. Cool. And so people kind of knew me as like this missionary chick that would like, you know, run off into the abyss and like to Africa and like work with orphans and then come back and raise more funds. You know what I mean? Like, but using fashion to do it. And, it was really cool because I got to, at one of my fashion shows, I didn't know at the time who he was, but one of my, my stage manager, she was just like, oh, I'm inviting a guest and you know, they're part of this TV show. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, all right. Like, and I don't, and it's different, like, when you go to, like, I don't know, my heart is very different, like, because when you grow up as a missionary kid and you see things different from a different perspective of people who don't have much, right? Like, celebrityism isn't, like, a big deal to you. You're just like, there's people that are starving to death, right? Yeah. There are people that are being trafficked. There are people that are, you know, like, all these different heartaches that are on the inside of me that like, I don't know, like, seeing a celebrity is nothing to me. Celebrities to me are the people that are out there in the field doing that kind of work to rescue these people. Yes. Right. Come on, so she was just like, oh, I want you to meet this person. I was like, okay. So I'm literally getting my hair teased, right? Backstage. And he comes and he sits down and he's like, oh, so what are you doing? I hear that you're like, you know, going to Africa. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm doing this, that, and the other. And I'm trying to raise this money. He's like, well, I'm going to pay for it all.
Oh, wow.
I go, excuse me. I was like, what? Okay. And that's only God, right? Like,
yeah,
that's only a God thing. I was like, wow. Okay. All right. And you know, like LA is very like, let's have lunch. You know what I mean? Like, it's never really foundationally correct. Like,
right.
Yeah. And so you're just like, oh, okay. So you're just kind of like holding your breath. Like, was he legit? Sure. 'Cause that's a lot of money. And like, sure enough, I call the next day and he wired the money to me and I was like, wow, this is crazy. And then we became friends and I found out that he wasn't just like on the show, but he was actually the creator of the show and the series.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that's cool. You know? And then, this is to answer your question and why I'm bringing it up, because you were saying about like, you know, how we don't have to step in being anything but ourselves because the light lives in us. Mm-hmm. Well, from that position, right, where I wasn't, you know, his friend because I needed something from him, because I knew God would always provide all the time, right? I wasn't his friend because I wanted to get him saved, sure, right? Sure. Like, yeah. I wasn't his friend for any reason except right. I'm just your friend because I think you're cool. And I don't know, you think I'm cool. So we're hanging. And so from that relationship, though, he then started coming to church with me.
Wow.
And it was just by me saying, hey, you want to go to church on Sunday? I'm going. Want to show so up? You know, good. Like, and yeah. so he started
coming.
Like, it
doesn't have to be weird. I think Christians make it so weird. Like, stop yeah. being weird, y'all. Like, we need yeah. just be normal.
Just be normal.
We were just talking about before we got on the show that Tara was wearing black and I'm wearing black and she's got a black hat on. She's like, I feel really like dark and dreary. I'm like, it's a good color. Like, it's okay.
I know.
Right? But I get it. Like, we need some light and some airy, but that's just our persona. So it's yeah. so funny that like we try to warp it so that it's palpable for people. We try to like yeah. make it presentable and yeah. it's okay if you're not wearing a Jesus color. I think black is fine. Yeah. He's okay. He might not wear it by choice, but we're fine.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly. And I think, yeah, I think just being normal, and it's opened yeah. up so many opportunities to pray so for good. People. And
yeah.
Like I said, God really opens those doors into the industry for me where I preach for so many people. And it's just, yeah. it's not like this weird, like, I mean, I could Shaka Khan a lot of people and lay my hands on them and have them fall out, but it doesn't need to be that way, right? Like,
right, 100%.
It just doesn't need to be that way. Yeah. It's just, hey, like, I see you're hurting. Can I pray for you? That yeah. simple, you know? Yeah. And most people are open to prayer. Most people mm-hmm. want it, right? And yeah. are just waiting for that person to step out and yeah. be faithful to all of our calling, right? And so, yeah, so that's kind of my journey in the fashion so industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's so wild. So when you got this shift in your heart to say, I want to try something new, the Lord's calling you out of that space, how much are you still dabbling in that? Or is it just another element of like your past that you're having propel you into what you're doing now?
Yeah, I would say the latter. I would say it's yeah. just something that so cool. I did that and it was great. It was cool. It's not something that like I desire to go back to. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, I have to yeah, leave the fashion sure. industry. You
yeah,
know what
yeah,
I mean?
Like, you were ready.
It wasn't like that. It was more like, okay, now is my time. And, you know, I was going through, like a supernatural school of healing and stuff like that. And learning all about, my gifts, right? Like I was actually going through a really hard time and I started going to this church in LA and
yeah.
he looked at me, the pastor, and I knew that there was something in me that was different. I knew yeah. that it wasn't like this, I had this gift and I didn't know what it was, right? And I knew I had a lot of friends that went to Bethel and things like that and would talk about, you know, their experiences. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But my grandmother passed away and I wound up going to this new church. And at that church, the pastor like walks up to me and he's just like, you're a seer. And I was like, a what? Like, I had no idea what that was, right? I had no clue. And I was like, what is that? And so I remember being in a coffee shop and I was like, what did that pastor call me? And mind you, I've been a Christian my whole life and yeah. I've had these gifts my whole life where I just thought I was crazy, really. Right. I literally thought I was crazy my whole life. And so he says this to me and I go and I look it up and you know how like in a book it has like the, like you can read like a little bit, a snippet. Yeah. So I'm yeah. sitting there in the coffee shop just sobbing.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy. I mean, a little wow. bit, but I'm not crazy, you know?
But truly like you're created, you're fashioned, no pun intended, yeah. for this particular gift. I mean, that's for those who are listening and you didn't catch, she said she's a seer. Okay. S-E-E-R. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting there just sobbing because every single thing it's saying is everything I've ever yeah. experienced my whole life. Wow. And, you know, like my parents were Christians. My dad, you know, was involved in the church and things like that, but they didn't know any of this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember seeing this pastor and being like, I don't know what he's doing, but whatever he's doing, I identified it in him, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
he told me what it was. And I was wow. like, wow. And so from there, it became like this whole discovery of this gifting that I always used. I just didn't know how to harness it. And I sure. didn't know how to utilize it and, you know, really partner with God in it. I yeah. just kind of was like, people always thought I was like that weird child. Like, how does she know this about me? Like,
oh like, my gosh, that's creepy.
Yeah. Well, like just reading everybody's mail.
I don't think that there's, I was trying to conceptualize as you were talking. So I'm just going to say it out loud, but like I don't know that there's levels per se, but we do know that just as the disciples, there was like the large group of disciples and Jesus followers, there was the inner, then there was the three, right? And so I do think that as we seek, we get closer. And the closer in proximity, the more revelation that we have, the more wisdom that we have, the more access that we have. It's no different than the prodigal son who is way out, who doesn't have access anymore to the father's ear or mouth or wisdom or cash or any of it. And then the son who stays at home. And so it's just like seeking that you went on in order to understand, okay, God, I have this treasure, but what do I do with it? And so that was when you decided to go into the schooling to like learn more.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it so much. I did this. Okay.
So, which was so crazy because, like I said, I always thought that I was crazy. And one of the greatest things that someone has ever said to me is, you aren't what you feel. And it just literally broke so many chains off of me of just feeling like I'm not that person. Because like I can walk by somebody and pick up their stuff.
Sure.
But I mean, I used to. Now I know how to like distinguish and discern and things like that. But So I went through this whole schooling program of learning these gifts and what they mean and how to utilize them. There was a lot of breaking off a lot of religion because I grew up in the church and there was a lot of check marks that I had created, you know, that I thought that I had to be this way or do this thing or do it like this, or God didn't love me, or I was unworthy, or this, that, whatever it might be. And so there was a lot of breaking off of stuff and a lot of adding to stuff, right? Like adding to the healing, adding to like the things that I thought like God wanted from me. And really he doesn't need any of it. Right. It's a gift that he's given me to be able to partner with him, to see these really cool things happen in life. Right. Like with people and seeing their breakthrough come about. So that's kind of how I transitioned, was stepping into that space. And then that's when I met this prophetic woman at a woman's conference, who, at the time, her name was Ruth, and I was studying her in the Bible, and it was like, it could not have been more God. And here's the funny thing, Tamara, is that I move in the prophetic, right?
Yeah.
But I'm always leery of it. I'm always like,
sure.
I'm like, oh,
that one.
There's like very few people that I've actually grabbed a hold of the word, right?
And sure, which is so important if you're listening. And like, I do know people who literally go to services just to like hold tight to the prophetic of somebody else and that gift and that anointing. And they walk their life out around that. And that can be very dangerous because now you're idolizing that prophet versus idolizing Christ who gave them the word.
1,000.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Prophetic copying. Yeah, that's what I like to call it.
That's good. I love it.
But yeah, and so it was one of those moments where I was with two of my friends and I had stepped into speaking. I was on the pastoral team and actually two different churches because they were sister churches.
Yeah.
And so I was speaking at both of the churches and they would call me Pastor Tara. I'm like, please don't call me Pastor, right? And then they're like, okay, Rabbi. So then they started calling me Rabbi Tara, right? That was the whole thing. But come to find out that this woman was a rabbi that spoke this over me, which is so crazy. And so she started speaking and she goes, one of you here is a teacher. And I was like, looking around, and she's like, you're going to be speaking. And she laid her hands right on my head. And all three of us just started weeping just because the presence of the Holy Spirit was so thick and tangible. We were just like, you know, and that's just not my personality. And I will say this, I was being so bratty that day at this women's conference. Cause once again, it was a women's conference. And two, at the time I was like, I gotta go. I don't want to go. And my friends are like, come on, you have to go. And so I show up and I'm like, well, can we just sit in the back?
And
they're like, no. Always,
he's like, hook you in, pull you closer.
Yeah. And then of course the pastor's like, okay, everyone stand up and say, pray for your neighbors. I'm like, I don't want to pray for you. I just want to sit. I just want to sit and not talk. Right. And of course they turn around, like probably the oldest couple in the place. And I'm just like, great.
I have to do this now. Thanks a lot, y'all.
It's so awful. So that was kind of my journey. She gave the word and I was like, what? And then my type A personality of like, okay, well, God said I'm going to speak at a conference. Well, I better start it. And so I created She Shifts Culture, and I was like, let's do it. And I said, I don't want it to be God. Me telling God my plans, like always, I don't want it to be God, this like fluffy, like conference where we're just like, yay, every year. Right. Like yeah. I need to see transformation. Yeah. I need to see women walking out their transformed lives. Like they cannot walk in here. They cannot leave the way they walked in here. Yeah. That was my goal.
Yeah.
And so that's what my conferences are all about, you know, is really bringing in women and having them speak into the lives of the women. And sometimes it's around, we switch it up. Sometimes it'll be around like last year's was all about bringing in women in the business industry, mm-hmm. The marketplace, and allowing them to show what's possible, you know? Mm-hmm. And every year it's a different topic. And so yeah. I think that God really brought what I did in my fashion, you know, because learning, I mean, as you know, putting on conferences is like, woo, you know,
thing, y'all, we're in the thick of it right now. I feel it. I'm like,
yeah,
every single time in this season, like the six to four weeks before, I'm like, never again, never doing this again. Every single conference, y'all. And then the conference happens like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen again. Only because, not because of like my high, but because of the transformation. How can you not host an event where there's going to be baptisms and supernatural healings? It's a non-negotiable. Yeah. So then it's just like, how do we prepare in the forefront so that this part isn't as like gut-wrenching? But honestly, it makes me rely more on him and knowing that he's going to supernaturally provide. And so if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. And so that's how I got to She Shifts Culture is because God gave me a word and I was just like, well, I'll make it happen then, you know?
I guess this is how this works. Do you ever deal with this, Tara? Because I think a lot of people who are visionaries, who are action takers, type three, they're achievers, they're like, let's go. They have this conversation and we've had this inside of our founder, like discipleship community where we've talked about, is this me or is this God? Did I come up with this idea or did God come up with this idea? And they almost struggle with this essence of pride and humility or false humility. I can't even always put my finger on it. But what would you say from like a perspective to support someone who's walking through that confusion?
Yeah, I would say that God is not a God of confusion. He's always the God of shalom. So if there is not a sense of peace around it, if there's like this like overwhelming joy of excitement, I would always pause on that as well. Mm. Even if it's overly like one way excitement or like this like fear, I would say, where's the peace at? Like where do you feel a sense of calmness? You know, because God's not this like, you know, he's not speaking to you that way. He's saying, Tamara, go do this conference. Yeah. He's not like, go do this. You know what I mean? No. It's always coming in that small, still voice. So I would say to that person that's struggling, you know, I work with a lot of creatives as a coach, and I work a lot with that, you know, of like harnessing and let's hear what God has to say about this. And if you're freaking out about it, whether it's highs or lows, then we need a pause because I don't think God's in that, right? Like, I don't think God is in this chaotic movement, right? Mm-hmm. He's not pulling you into something where you have to stress out about it. Doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. It doesn't mean that, you know, you have to, you know, put your feet to that faith, but it's not going to be chaotic.
Yeah.
And I think people get lost in that chaotic, because oftentimes I think as visionaries or a lot of creatives I work with, they'll be like, God told me to do this. And then 2 weeks later, they're like, he told me to do this. I'm like, hold up.
Like, I thought we were right over here first. And it might not be that like those ideas don't have validity, but it's timing. Yeah. God is such a God of timing and order and like the way in which we do it. And we get so eager. And I always remember, I'm like, gosh, I'm so young. I have so much time to do these things. And even though time is precious and I might not be here tomorrow, like the time that I have, I'm like, let me just soak it in right now. Yeah. And we can't do that and be also on a rat wheel.
Yeah. So good. So good. Yeah, I agree. And I think also, it's another, aversion that the enemy brings in is to create multiple lanes when, to take your focus off the lane that God has called you to do. Right. I think that he's really big on bringing, even if it's just like a hint of confusion where it looks like something good, but it's not, it may be good, but it's not actually God, you know, and you get sidetracked, yep. right? That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. And so you have to be very careful about making sure that you're hearing that still small voice as opposed to your own voice or the voices of others that are around you, right? Yeah.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
We have some people in the chat that are chatting with us. We've got hello, fellow seer. Hello, fellow seer from Nicole Slade. We've got Kelly in the house who's talking about the timing and the piece connected to her book release that happened in a wild supernatural timing. We've got Amanda who said black is good. The light in you ladies brightens up any look. So thanks, Amanda. But it's true.
So good.
These conversations that we're having, they're not just connected for just you and I. And so the people who are listening, whether they're here live or they're listening later, like I always want people to understand in tangible terms what it is that we can geek out on, right? Like, can you even dissect what is the gift of seeing? What is a seer? What does that actually mean? And for people who are like, I don't even know what my gifts are, like how from a life coaching perspective and from your conference and the way that you host ministry and prayer, how do you help people into understanding that?
Yeah, I work with a lot of people with a seer's gift. So basically what a seer is that you're using all of your senses. So for instance, if you here's how you might know that you're a seer. Here's some key points. One is like if you walk into a room, right? And all of a sudden you were super happy, but you walk into the room and all of a sudden you're depressed, right? You're feeling what's going on in the atmosphere. Well, the reason God does that or allows us to be exposed to that is because we have the ability to shift that atmosphere. We have the ability to shift whatever darkness is hovering over that region. We have the ability to shift it and tell it to go. And so he gives us those abilities to be able to see it, to be able to feel it. Some of you might call yourself like a feeler. Oh, I just like feel something. That person feels off or feels like a little weird, right? Yep. Like, so we have the ability to feel. You might be able to, this is like, you're going to be, don't trip out, but you can sometimes smell things. So sometimes when I pray for people, all of a sudden I will get, like this whiff of alcohol and it helps me partner with God in what I'm praying and interceding for, like, oh, okay, maybe either them or someone they know are struggling with an addiction to alcohol. Sometimes it's going to be with your eyes, the other sense of visually, God might give you a vision about that person and being able to see into their future or see into their past or see into what is happening in the present moment. And this isn't all about like, oh, you know, so Tara can look cool, right? This is all about helping that person be drawn into the presence of God to be able to be seen by him. And one of the greatest things that I feel, especially with people in the world, how I was talking earlier, where God has really put me in places to be able to pray with people, celebrities and things like that, is being able to use that gift, right? Is being able to say, like, I see this happening in your world right now. And they're just like, you know, and you're just like, and they're like, how did you know that? I go, well, I actually didn't know it, but God, our Heavenly Father, sees you right now. And just for someone to feel seen, seen in a place, especially in LA, where you're only seen for either your sexuality, your financial, your clout, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You're being seen into the depths of your heart where most people aren't able to see, but God sees you.
Yeah.
God sees you. How powerful is that, right?
So
that's what a seer does. And they have the ability to prophesy. They have the ability to have words of knowledge.
Yeah.
Like Samuel was a seer. There's a lot of seers in the Bible, but
So
that's what a seer does.
Mm-hmm. I want people to have that like tangibility to be like, am I? And be able to then go and seek after either the sharpening of, because I do believe there are people who will hear this and they'll be like, I want to be a seer, right? And there's this like essence of desire. And a lot of the gifts that I have connected to that are because I seek after. And so I remember really wanting to understand the gift of prophetic. Like I was enamored by it. I thought it was incredible. And I love people and I love to be able to encourage people, but I wanted to encourage people in the truth that God saw in them, not to be like, you're doing great. And that was a total lie. Like, don't do that to your friends. That doesn't help them in their situation.
Yeah.
You need to be able to call out and call them up into their identity. And so I would literally watch YouTube videos of prophets and I would just like, wow. And it wasn't about the words. It was like watching the body language. It was watching their pauses and like letting them really like allowing themselves to hear from God. So I love that you have all of the five senses. And I mean, I would just be in that space for so long that eventually I started to take root and take note in that gift.
Yeah.
Because God was like, first off, I trust you enough because you're seeking after me. And if you seek after him, he will allow you to discover more of who he has created you to be. And he also doesn't hold back his gifts from his children. Like he wants to give you the things that you desire when they're aligned.
So good.
And so when we become humble, and like you said, you're like, it's not about me looking cool, but when we humble ourselves before the Lord to say, God, use me how you would want to use me and help me be of service to your people, he then will bring to life some of those things inside of you that you didn't understand or you thought was weird or you thought was like totally out of the norm or I was just the strange, you know, black sheep of the family, right? It's really neat to be able to hone in on that and use that for the power in the kingdom of God.
Yeah. And I want to bring this up since I don't know if your audience is mostly women, men and women, I don't know, but I want to bring this up because this is really important in what you were saying about the maturity of being a seer and being able to use it, is the, I think God will use those that really have tight lips, right? Mm. I know a lot of us women love to gossip and like say things, but when you can learn to control and harness your mouth and, really hold on to a secret, I think that's when you're going to see the gift explode, because that can either destroy a person or it can build up a person in your mouth. Yeah. Right. And so when God gives me these things, I'm not running and telling people the mail that I'm reading, you know, like I'm not telling their business to other people, even in what sometimes will be like, well, we need to pray for this person because God showed me that about them. Right. Yeah. It's about being like, this person is a child of God and God's showing me this because this person needs healing in this area. Yeah. And it's between them and God to get that healing, not between me and them and not between me and the rest of the church or my circle of girlfriends. So it's between them and God. And so you have to honor that position where you're just the mouthpiece of God, right? He's just using you in that moment. So I really just want to speak that to those that are listening that, the first thing, seek God in the gifting, but the first thing that I would work on is having control of your mouth.
Mm. Y'all,
sorry, that's a good one right there.
Let's go. I mean, that's so necessary. I'm like processing all of the times, even when I'm on women's retreats, right? Where this can so easily happen. But one of the things that I found myself in is just like weeping before the Lord in the middle of the night, so much so that I had to just release because I didn't know what to do with all of the burden, the layers that people give you, the secrets that they're telling you, and thinking, gosh, I'm being handed all of these secrets and I am 10, sometimes 20 years younger than these people. And I don't have the knowledge of how to help. Right. And so the Lord is just like, you don't have to, all I'm asking you to do is be the beacon of light
that they were attracted to get them to come to another country with you for a week.
Yeah.
That's crazy enough, right?
Yeah.
And so just be the beacon. Just be the beacon and allow me to do the work through you. And that's anything that we do, y'all. It doesn't matter if you run a women's ministry, if you're hosting conferences, if you have the gift of seer or not. It's this knowing that every single day we have an opportunity to just lay our life down to support what God is doing in the kingdom. And he's doing it through his people every single day. And so not to just look at other people and be like, wow, look at her. He's going, no, you too are called and summoned. And so one of the gals that's on live says, how do you narrow the focus best in a sea of lanes of choices, in a sea and opportunity and lanes of choices? How do you narrow your focus on, I'm assuming, Amanda, you mean on what you're doing, or do you mean specifically on your gifts? I'd be curious. Maybe she'll pop in.
Well, I would go back to, if it's the lanes of like where her purpose lies, I would say to you, Amanda, like I was saying before, it's got to be that anchored in peace, that lane, right? So whatever that lane is, you have to have a sense of peace. If the other ones feel urgent or like a sense of like, not even urgent, because sometimes the lane that you're walking in can be urgent because God will put a spirit of urgency on something, but it has to be non-chaotic. It has to feel peaceful, because if you're walking in chaos, then you're not walking in God, because God is not a God of chaos.
So good. It's interesting. It actually makes me think of something that I walked through earlier this year where I had to actually sit with the Lord and repent over the fact that I'd been asking him for months, Lord, like, why did you let that happen? Why did I walk into that relationship? Why did this occur? I feel like I was on such a good path. Why would that even be? Why would you let me say yes to that, essentially?
Yeah.
And the question and the concept was, because I felt so much peace. And so the repentance came 2 months after just begging God, like, God, I just want to understand. I need clarity.
Yeah.
And he told me, I don't know why it was that time, but he said, you self-developed that peace. That was not peace from me. You curated that peace for yourself.
Yeah.
And it was so a good lie. And these are the things and the signs and the areas in which I can now point to you, because you've come out of it. You're far enough away, and it's also not going to crumble you, that I want to show you this. And so he was so gentle and so compassionate in the reminder. Mm-hmm. And essentially it was like, again, me trying, and this is an area, I don't know why I feel called to say this right now, but people who are always trying to partner with other people. You're always trying to like, I'm going to bring on a partner. Oh, she can help me do this. She can help me do this. And then together we're going to take on the world. I am all for kingdom collaboration, but I do really believe that a lot of times people are doing that because they lack worthiness. They lack the belief in themselves
that
they are worthy. And so you don't always have to partner, and God is not always going to send a partner. And so he's asking you to do that supernatural wild thing. Like, it might be you who needs to go on the missions trip by yourself without your best friend or your mom or your husband. You might just need to go. And so I just hope that people are listening. They realize that there can also be the self-generated elements, and it can end up deterring you from what you're supposed to be doing. But God is gracious and so kind in the way that he responds, and he will reveal to you as you seek him. Again, I was 2 months of just seeking God for an answer about a situation, and he finally revealed it to me.
Wow. Yeah. I fully agree. And I think knowing his voice, and the only way you know his voice is by abiding in him, right? Like by sitting at his feet and understanding, like, you know, like, think of like your best friend that you've known for years. Yeah. You can pick her voice out of anywhere. Like, if you were in a crowded space and you heard that person laugh, you'd be like,
yep.
Eh. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, that's how so close you have to be with Jesus, that when he speaks, you're like, that's Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Or like another thing when I work with women, like with conflict, right? Like if it doesn't sound like that person, then for instance, like, so say if someone were to say, I know, your best friend, right? Like, your best friend isn't going to call you stupid idiot. But if someone came along and said, I heard your best friend just called you a stupid idiot, right? Mm-hmm. You'd be like, no, my friend? I don't think so. I don't think that would happen, right? And so it's like knowing God so well to know his truths that he would or would not say or do something. And so when the enemy comes along, it says something about how God feels about you or about your destiny or about the things that he has for you or doesn't have for you, you can say, I don't think so. Like, I know the truth. I know what God has said about me because I've abided in him. I'm so close to him and I know him so well that I know that he wouldn't say that or he wouldn't have me walk down that path, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's critical. There's another question. I love all the interaction today, guys. You guys are amazing. from Kelly, she said that she found out that she has HSP, which is a highly sensitive person. Are you familiar with this idea? Is that probably similar to the seer as far as like an empath goes? Or have you heard of this, HSP?
I have not heard of HSP.
Yeah.
It sounds like what one would call like intuitive or a feeler in the New Age world. I'm not sure. So if she wants to bring more clarification, I can answer that.
Yeah. I would say that's probably the sense of I've got girlfriends and you kind of alluded to it. Like when you walk into a space and like you feel what other people are feeling, there's a lot of beauty in that. And it can also, if you don't know how to harness it or hold it, it can cause you to then reflect into and be like, I don't know why I'm feeling depressed. I don't know why I feel chaotic. I don't know why I feel so anxious right now. And then it becomes about you and less about your gift and less about who you're supposed to help in that moment. So
exactly.
That is, again, I think a lot of this just comes back to the maturity and also searching and seeking who God created you to be before you go on this missional path to go and help all these other people. I think a lot of people are looking to like grow influence and get on stages with bigger people and, you know, be whatever it is when it comes to influence, but God's trying to influence us individually before we can ever influence somebody else. If Jacob never wrestled and became Israel, it would have never worked. If David never had these moments with Jesus in the field, he would have never been king. I think about this with literally almost every single biblical character. And so I've had my own wrestling moments, and I still do, before I can ever go out and pass wisdom to somebody.
So good. Yeah. Right? And there's also a book that it's called The Modern Day Seer by Mark Driscoll. I'm trying to think. You might be able to get it. Oh, you know him?
Oh, I know who his work. I
love
him personally.
Okay, yeah. I'm like, do you know him? Because I've been trying
to find him. No, I was supposed to go to his church a couple of weeks ago when I was in Arizona, though.
He's still doing church?
He's
in Arizona?
Uh-huh. Yep.
I've been trying to find him. I know it sounds crazy, but
I'll connect you with the guy who is connected to him.
Okay. So he wrote this book, and that was the book that I read in the coffee shop that one day that changed my life. Yeah. And so I put people on that book because it's so fire. Like, it's so good. And it really helps you like identify the things that you might be feeling or seeing or experiencing from like even dreams or nightmares and things like that. It's a really good book. It's called The Modern Day Seer by Mark Driscoll.
Okay, Mark Driscoll. So good. Well, Tara, I feel like we could keep talking forever and we have an active audience right now. I think the last question that I would have for you off the top of my tongue is when you're working with women as a life coach and they're coming to you, is there like a specific thing that you find as a commonplace that people are coming to you? Do you see like a through line in Christ's women right now? Or even, I don't know if you work with women who are not aligned in their faith yet and they are in that seeking stage. Tell us about who that avatar, who that community member is.
Yeah. So most of the people that do come to me are faith-based women. And oddly, most people that come to me are for business, which is kind of funny to me. Because that's not how it started out. It started out as, you know, spiritual in life. Yeah. But I think because I really blend my seer's gift into my coaching, as well as, I mean, I'm trained in trauma, like helping women through trauma and, really finding breakthrough. And I believe though that in the business space, in the marketplace or entrepreneurial space, women, fall short because there's a lot of things that have gone on in their past that hold them back from actually walking in purpose. So my goal, there's a scripture in Proverbs 25 that says, deep are the purposes of a man's heart and a man with understanding can draw them out. And so that's how I see myself. I can see the purpose that God has placed on somebody's life. I can see like why God designed them and like what they're supposed to be going after. And I can draw that out and help them get to that space, right? And so that's what I do with my clients. I bring, when they come on, we figure out what it is that they feel God has placed on their heart, and we remove all the trauma and the junk while simultaneously moving them towards their goal. So we do both at the same time. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. And I think it's so critical. If you guys aren't familiar with, like, essentially the baseline mission across all the things that I am so passionate about, is to obliterate shame, which is essentially address trauma, right? Activate purpose, which is like, okay, now move you into the alignment of where God wants you to be. And I'm playing around with, like, the third layer to that. And I've never really brought it out loud, but it's ultimately about abiding. It's like, okay, so you can activate purpose, and that's awesome, but there is maturity. There's an abiding that has to happen. There's a staying power that has to happen once you activate purpose. Because I can assure you, as I'm sure Tara and I have experienced firsthand, and I can say this without ever asking her, like, the activation, the continual activation of your purpose is hard, because the enemy is coming for you. The enemy, when you get unlocked to these gifts that we're talking about, when you get unlocked to this purpose, when you get free from those traumas, and you have this power to walk in as the head and not the tail to a room, you better watch out.
Come on.
You better watch out, right? I mean, it's real. It's real.
Yeah.
So I am empowered by you and inspired by all of the work that you're doing. I know that you still are a certified prayer minister. You're still doing so much in the missions world. What is the thing that has you most ignited by right now?
What am I ignited by? Like,
like, what's getting you so excited right now that you're just working on or pursuing or just pleased by?
Yeah, I would probably say, well, like I talked to you earlier, I'm in this space that it's exciting and not exciting, but I'm in the process of writing a book. And it's all about pulling off those layers that society, people, the enemy has placed on you. And it's rediscovering who you are by taking those layers off and partnering with God and who He says that you are. So, fingers crossed I'll be done in fall. I mean,
so good. It falls ticking, girl. Let's go.
Look, I got 2 months. I got a month and a half.
I love that. That's so awesome. I am so excited for you and expectant, because I know that the words are going to transform people. And imagine someone eventually is going to be holding your book in a coffee shop, and you're going to be able to transform their lives, you know?
Come on, Jesus.
Yeah, it's going to happen for sure. I feel like we're just going to continue to be lifelong friends, and we're going to keep having hat and black bestie combos. So come back for the Tara and Tamara show.
That is so good. I love it.
Tara, you're incredible. Would you be so willing to pray for our audience who's here with us live today and just send us out?
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. God, we just thank you so much, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your presence that's here in this moment, Father God, even in the laughter, even in the moments, Father God, of just Tamara and I wearing the same hats, and that you're just in unison, Father God, that you are just a part of this podcast, God. I thank you so much for every ear that is tuned in to hear your voice, not to see Tamara or I, Father God, but to hear your voice and to really draw into what you have to say to them right now. So I just ask, God, that you would speak to their hearts. I just pray, God, and I just ask, Lord, that anything that is bringing trauma to their mind in this moment, God, anything that is trying to grab a hold and not let go from those that are even seers, God, I ask, Lord, that you would break that off right now, God, just the spirit of trauma right now off of their minds. Those that have been affected, Father God, by anxiety or worry, I know that this gift can come with that. So I just ask right now, God, that you would break that off in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, God, for an expansion in the lives of those that are listening right now. I thank you, God, for an expansion that as they abide in you, you abide in them, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, just for intentionality of your spirit living on the inside of them and how you're going to guide and direct them to the people that they need to talk to be able to expand your kingdom, God. We thank you that our purpose is not about us, but it's about you. And so I pray, God, that we would not be deceived by the enemy to think that our purpose is for us to be on stages, to be famous, or to be wildly profitable as a billionaire, Father God, that that would not be our purpose, but that would just be a result, Father God, of the things that you have called us to. I pray, God, that our heart would be so entangled with just your love for people, that our heart, God, would be able to see how you see people and how you care for them, that we would feel such an urgency in our spirit to want to walk out the purpose and the callings that are on our lives, God. An urgency, God. I pray for an urgency in any spirit, Father God, that is trying to just hold these people back, Father, from walking out that purpose that you have, God, from confusion to feeling unworthy to incapable. I just silence the lies of the enemy right now. And I say, go forth in your purpose, go forth in your calling, run towards it with urgency. And I just thank you, God. I thank you for the gifts that you've given us. I thank you, God, for visions and prophetic words, God. But ultimately, I thank you that we can hear your voice. I thank you that we can hear the intimacy of your voice and how you see us and what you think about us and how you care about us and how you hold us close to your heart, Father God. I just bless this call. I bless Tamara and her expansion that's coming, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, for this conference that's ahead of her, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are paving a way for the people to come. I thank you for the finances that are going to come for her, Lord Jesus, and anything that she might be worried about or gripping, Lord Jesus, we just surrender it right now. And thank you, Lord, that we can be on this adventure with you as you lead and guide her of what to say yes to in the season and what to say no to, God. Bless her conference, bless her audience, and bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Whew, I could always stay in that space. Thank you guys so much for being here. Tara, you're a treasure. I'm so grateful to spend this time with you. I can't wait for the show to drop and even more so to get your book. So
yes, come on.
Let's go. Thank you so much
for having me, Tamara.
Yeah, it was an absolute pleasure. You guys know what to do. Hey y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you might even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together, and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and it's going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us and this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network, which is obviously why we got connected and are so grateful to be a part of the community. They have shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Some of mine that I listen to on a regular basis are on Life Audio. Even some of our community members who have been a part of the Fit and Faith team through our coaching or different organizations, they're there too. So I definitely want to drive you over there, check it out. And thanks again, Life Audio, for being you.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcast.